Like, I'm tired.
Yeah? You little sleepies? Yeah. Little sleepy baby ash guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, go sleepies. Why don't you go sleepy?
I slept on the couch last night.
Well, that's what happens when your kids throw up, yeah.
Yeah, she threw up in the bed right after we changed out her sheets for clean ones, so she had no clean sheets, so they slept in my bed, so I had to sleep on the couch.
They sleep on the couch.
Because
it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun adventure.
Yeah, but see, the plus side was I could stay up till 12:30 playing World of Warcraft and not have to sneak past them.
There you go.
I could just go to the couch.
I do that all the time. 12:30, that's a joke. Don't make me laugh.
Yeah, what time do you sleep till tomorrow?
I won't say that, because I don't have to. Because once again, I can do what I want. Hello, and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for April 25th, 2020. It's at the end of April. April, I feel like, went by much faster than March.
Oh, yeah, March was awful. March is like, March 2020 will go down as one of the worst months ever.
Right, like this, like now, like at least where it's like, this has been somewhat routine. Like 2020 at least went by a bit. Like that, like, first 2 weeks doing the quarantine in March, that was rough. I thought this is like suddenly a picnic, but I'm getting kind of used to it. So this is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother AJ. How's it going?
Oh, it's going. It's
great. Just fantastic, right?
Yeah, everything's great. Hey, the local really good ice cream place quasi reopened. You have to order ahead, and their selection's limited. But I'll take it.
I didn't realize the handles was closed. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. They shut down for a couple of weeks there.
Not much. I like handles a lot. Fine. Yeah, but I'm not much of a sweet guy. Like, I'm never going, like, to get ice cream, I guess is what I'm saying. It's not really my thing.
No, you'd rather just have booze.
Right. I'd rather drink my carbs, usually. Or keep them my carbs, I guess. But, yeah, ice cream, not really my thing. Not really my thing. So, I don't know, AJ. I mean, gosh, what's been going on besides melancholy and depression?
Video games. Still got those. Thank goodness.
Yeah, right.
My kids are playing with me now The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening.
Really?
They are very into it.
Man, now they know what Zelda is. What's going on?
Right? They love the theme song. They like the music. Liv gets very excited whenever you find a key in a dungeon.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So like the way the plays go, I've introduced them to the general concept of die, level, which has helped with my sanity greatly. So when we're out kind of in the world, they'll just kind of explore around. Either I'll be like, okay, it's been long enough, or okay, you died, switch. And then we get to a dungeon, you know, Sophia gets a crack, Liv gets a crack, and then I beat the dungeon.
You do. That's though they're walking around and like playing Zelda.
You know, they're swinging the swords and jumping over gaps. And, you know, they were very excited that the second dungeon had the bracelets, and now we could pick up stuff because they were asking from the very beginning, how do we pick up rocks? I told him it's coming.
You'll find out. Don't worry about that.
I know we've talked about it before, but that is such a great game. It's so fun.
Yeah.
It is such a good job. Remake? No, I never actually ended up finishing it yet. I think I'm like four. I think I was through five dungeons.
Yeah. I mean, it takes me 5 hours really to beat it. So or something like that for me. But it was kind of pretty good because like it. You know, compared to some of the other things, that was such a short playthrough, which I don't have a problem with. But,
right.
But yeah,
it was a Game Boy game. What are you going to do?
Yeah. I think maybe, like, I'm not usually one to be like, these games should be $60. That was one where maybe I could see, but also, you know, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
It's Nintendo. I mean, they still sell Mario Kart 8 for the Wii U for $60, so what are you going to do? But, you know, they've still been doing their Smash Brothers and their Mario Maker. We haven't really played anything with the new update yet.
Yeah, I'm never been a big Mario Maker fan, really.
So the issue I have with Mario Maker now is very few people are just making Mario levels, and I'm hoping this new World Builder mode encourages that a little more.
Right. Because I think that's the idea, right?
They'll go through like course world or whatever, and it's like, okay, girls, like you have to just not push anything, and they're like, that doesn't make sense. I have to do something, and they actually have a hard time with like the auto Mario levels as a result.
Nah, that's very funny. But yeah, I mean, just I like the idea of like just making a Mario game, it's like, you know, a bunch of levels right. that are Mario levels, and stuff like that. Like that seems way more appealing to me than like making a like recreating Green Hill Zone Act 2 or something or whatever.
Even that's at least like a video game level. It's like the stuff where it's like. Well, there's the two ends of it, right? There's like the thing where it's like you just fall down this pit and all the stuff on the side makes a cool pattern as you fall. Oh, you beat the level. Wasn't that neat? Mm-hmm. Then there's like, you know, like that gif that went around on Twitter for a while of like the one with all the crazy fire traps.
Yeah.
Or, you know, people just make like all the crazy, like, yeah, throw this spring and bounce off this bullet bill and catch the spring and bounce off the spring.
But... in a way. I appreciate watching that stuff. I don't really
need right, but that, yeah, so. I don't need to ever play that ever, ever, ever.
But I mean, what do you think about this being the last update?
It's there's no doubt in my mind that there's supposed to be a lot more planned for this game, and they just shut it down.
Yeah, like I'm barely following this. It's me. I'm like, oh yeah, sure. I guess it's the last one. Whatever. This game came out last year. I don't know. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, so I'm surprised. I was like, oh, this is surprising. Yes, yeah, of course. How dare they not finish? I mean, the thing seems the most specific is the Mario. Like, did they have some Mario 2 stuff? It's like I feel like they were clearly going to at some point do an actual Mario 2.
When they had that section where you choose the 3D world style, it says like additional game styles plural, and they just nothing ever happened there. Like it's pretty clear at least Mario 2 was going to go there. I think it would have made sense to have like Mario Land go there, and who knows what else. But it's a bummer because you always wonder what could have been, but you know I guess people weren't playing it. Part of the problem is because the community levels probably weren't as good.
Right, I mean, people are like, it's like this game was some kind of bomb. It's some like 5 million copies or something, right? So it still did well, but you know, maybe not a big. I think that, especially with development being impacted in Nintendo right now, with other projects, like that's like the main Nintendo team that works on stuff like Mario and Zelda games.
Right,
they're probably just like you know. Go help on Breath of the Wild, or go help on these Mario ports, Mario Odyssey 2, maybe.
It's odd though they couldn't do like you know like a lot of studios do this like the base game comes out then you have like the DLC team and it's like a secondary studio and it seems like that would have been the solution. Now I guess exactly the issue what is
their infrastructure is. I mean I'm sure like we must have something kind of like that. Maybe like that DLC team even is already like you need to start working on DLC for Breath of the Wild too.
Yeah, I mean they also monetize it, which is probably an issue. And I don't know if it would work as a monetized thing or not. But whatever, right.
I mean, it is what it is. Kind of, remember, they like for as many copies as Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Switch, they really monetized that on the Switch, right? Like the Wii U version had some decent DLC support, but there wasn't much for the Switch version.
I mean, the Switch just had the DLC included, and they didn't do anything additional, yeah.
So, like, the only one, like, you know, Splatoon, I think, has some decent support, and then Smash Bros. Ultimate has some pretty good support, at least in terms of, like, getting new content. I know the netcode is kind of awful and all that stuff, but, like, yeah, aside from that, not a ton. Like, games like Zelda and Mario, they have very clear DLC plans. Like, this is what we're going to release.
Yeah, they have a very definitive end.
The Splatoon thing, right, yeah. So... I mean, they're better at this than they used to be. Just they do it at all, but yeah, there's still some weirdness about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, you know, I've been still working my way through Final Fantasy VII Remake. It continues to be amazing.
I beat it. It was amazing. Oh, it's so good.
I know. I want to get to the end so bad.
And like now, I beat like the soundtrack is just so good. I've been listening to it a lot. There's one boss fight kind of like towards like the beginning of like the last fourth of the game. And like it's just another boss fight against some kind of giant machine. But like boss fight for some reason has like its own unique theme. Like, and it's absolutely incredible. I don't even think it's like a remix of an old Final Fantasy VII. I tried to look and I couldn't find anything. It's just this absolute ridiculous banger of a song for the. I'm like, man, this is great. Where'd this come from?
Yeah, right.
All right.
Yeah, the music in that game is pretty extraordinary. It's like Oh crap! What was it? What was the game they like got a remake? It was a Nintendo game. Everyone was really mad they didn't like redo the music. Was it Wind Waker?
It was Wind Waker. Yeah, Wind Waker. Yeah. Like that was the weirdest, and that bothered me a lot. Wind Waker, because like the compositions are good. Wind Waker, but like it was like that weird GameCube. Like we're still kind of have MIDI music, and especially for Wind Waker, it's like it should probably be orchestrated. But that was the biggest one. PhD that the music was not reorchestrated, especially with like the redone visuals. Like it felt like you're playing a modern game with a Super Nintendo soundtrack.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah. I mean, the Final Fantasy VII, like, we always knew it was going to be kind of a good soundtrack because the composition is so good. But, like, the mixes here, just like the implementation of it, is ridiculous.
So you've beat every Final Fantasy game. Where would you put 7 Remake in your hierarchy if you were to do so?
Honestly, I don't play like that. There's some distinct rules that there's like the main Final Fantasy games, and then there's kind of spin-offs and remakes. Like, you put Final Fantasy VII like the same category as like a Final Fantasy X-2 kind of a thing.
Let's just pretend, for sake of argument, that this was Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah. Oh gosh, that's so. Dang it, that's so hard because there's so much baggage. It's really at least it's really in like the middle-ish, but like the higher middle-ish area, I guess I would say. It's really pretty close with like original Final Fantasy VII for me, to be honest. Huh. I think
I thought it'd be higher, honestly.
I mean, it's not like I don't like this more than Final Fantasy VI, IX, or XII, which are kind of like my three like super big ones.
Well, sure.
And I don't like it more than V, which is kind of right after that. So that's 4 right there, right? Of like. You know, however many there are, if we're not counting the MMOs, right? So that's why it's already like upper middle, right? Maybe it's right below those. I like it more than 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, I like it more than 8. I like it more than 10. I like it more than 13 and 15. So yeah, so there you go. It's like, yeah, it's not quite the middle. It's higher than like middle, but that's, again, it's like probably right next to original Final Fantasy 7. My question then is like, do I like it more or less than the original Final Fantasy VII, which is
right.
It's kind of hard to say, just because it's part of a game. It's like that it's part of a game because part of Final Fantasy VII was all in the midbar section anyways for the most part. Like that's where most of the memorable stuff side of like Golden Saucer and some other things happens anyways. So like having the whole game just like kind of focused on that is actually kind of a plus for me. Like I know like even when like a lot of other people kind of upset and weirded out by that, I was like, that's whatever. That kind of sounds actually nice. Especially, like, you know, I was a little skeptical, maybe, like, is this really going to be a quote-unquote full-length thing? And it took me, like, a 30-ish hour to beat, which is about as long as most Final Fantasy games took me to beat. I think certainly Final Fantasy 7 was about that for me also. It's like 35 to 40 hours. So, like, they promised it. So it doesn't, like, feel like any kind of a rip-off or anything.
Very cool. Well, yeah, once I feed it, and I do plan to. I'm not really playing anything else single player besides that right now, truth be told. So
you haven't actually beaten a Final Fantasy game, right?
I beat the main story quest in Final Fantasy 14, excuse me.
Oh, come on. I did that too, I guess. But you got to like the final boss in 10 and it's tough.
No, I lost the game. That's what happened in 10. And in 7, I was on like, you know, I was almost on the third disc and we had one of those multi-page third-party PS1 memory cards, and it just died.
We're full.
Lost my save file.
But it's not reliable. Turns out.
Yeah. What do you know? So yeah, those are the two I got the closest on.
Well, you can do it, Ashley. I believe in you.
Yeah, I'll try. But yeah, let's see. I unlocked my Volpera race and. World of Warcraft. I didn't really need the rep buff. I was really, really close, it turned out. Like, I did it in 45 minutes of playing the one night, so like an hour and a half, and I would have done it.
I mean, it's better than a lot of the other ones, because it's just like zone rep from the one expansion. Like,
I was already so close.
Right. Like, a lot of them were like rep, or like, you know, like the really big, kind of complicated one. Seventh Legion or whatever. So Volpera is like one of the easier ones to get, along with like High Mountain Tour and stuff like that.
Well, I've completed the Argus quest line you need to get both the Lightforged Draenei and the Void Elves, but I don't have the rep. But they're removing the rep requirements when the pre-patch for Shadowlands goes live, and I'm not going to make either of those characters new right now until that happens anyway. So there's no need.
Like,
Same thing with Dark Iron Dwarves. I'm confused because I have the achievement you need, but I have it on the Horde, and I don't know if that counts when it comes to unlocking.
Not count, I don't think. I think you need to get exalted. Wait, you mean? Oh, I think maybe. Wait, the big thing is getting exalted with Seventh Legion, which I don't agree. Did you do that?
Right. And then, well, no, but I won't need to once the pre-patch goes live. But then, like, you get an achievement when you finish the war campaign. and I have that achievement, but it's the Horde War campaign. But like, I don't think there's a different achievement. It's very confusing.
Well, there is an achievement for like doing both sides of it, like doing it on both, because I got that. I know. Yeah. So I did it both ways. It's so weird to be at the end of BFA finally, and you know all the stuff coming up for Shadowlands seems pretty exciting. I'm still like a little skeptical. Like the storytelling in BFA was just so bad that I kind of worry, especially because we're going to like, you know, it's like kind of cool. Like, oh, we're going to like the land of the dead and stuff like that. But it's also kind of you know, stupid. and right, like I mean, you know, because we're gonna see a bunch of like the characters that are dead, and I think it's a bad thing to kind of demystify death in your fictional world, right?
Like especially when you as a character just keep coming back from it and other people don't for some reason.
Right,
they,
but
like,
I mean,
they tried to address that with the Demon Hunter opening quest line, but like it was very awkward.
I mean, just in so many cases, like what is the risk of doing something or storyline wise? The person might die. Normally it's like, oh, dying's bad, it's like scary, who knows what's gonna happen to them, right? Like we can all kind of identify with like that fear of death. Even if you're religious and you believe things, right? Like everyone's a little like, now it's like, oh well they died, they're gonna go to the Zone Bastion. We were there, you know, last
week. I'll go say hi to him.
Right. And that's a little weird. But I don't know.
I mean, the stuff coming out of the alpha so far is pretty positive. People seem to like the Torghast Tower, which is like a roguelike sort of thing they're putting into the game.
Yeah, there's a lot of things like mechanically and like the classes and stuff like that that seem to be going pretty good. I really am itching to main my Dark Iron Dwarf Shaman. Which
look at you, copycat.
Come on, you're a shaman, whatever. But
I've been a shaman forever.
But like usually my play the Horde, but maybe this one's gonna be like, yeah, you know what, screw you guys, I don't want to be a Horde. And I played enough of a classic with you anyways. I can play classic with you if I really need to play, you know, a Warcraft game with you guys. So
what about Mike?
You don't raid anyways. You don't even do the first raid tier of these things, which is like the easiest things to do. You don't even do all deer, really.
I do my LFRs sometimes.
Oh wow, dude. Cool. I haven't even done the LFRs for
I haven't either yet.
All right. I like went there one time and like tried to like just join a pug. I was just like, yeah, this is not really fun for me right now.
you're out. You're out from the classic rating scene.
Yeah, I told him like I'm taking a break. I'm very understanding about, but thank God it felt like a weight off my shoulder. I really had enough. Like, I did it. I don't have anything to prove anymore. Not that there ever was anything to prove. Like, whatever. But, I mean, you know, it was always like baiting in classic. It's so different and harder and stuff. And it's like, as much as I had, like, pretty much nothing but good things to say about the leveling experience at classic, especially when compared to retail, and how I thought that was a lot more interesting. Like, rating problems, right? Like, there aren't that many mechanics. There's some annoying things. The thing that I hate the most, and maybe all of Classic, are world buffs, right? So, like, you can go to, like, these ridiculous lengths to get these buffs put on your character. Like, you have to go inside some instance like, on the other side of the world, and you get, like, +5% strength or whatever. Stuff like that, right? So you can go and get all these things. But if you die once, you lose them, right? But it takes you, like, 2 hours to get all these things. So, like, people in, like, the guild get these things, and it'll, you know, take them a long time. And then they'll, like, either die just trying to get into the instance because, you know, they're, like, Horde controlling it or something. Or they'll, like, die to a boss fight because, like, one thing went wrong, one person died. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, everybody's super angsty and, like, mad because, like, the one thing went wrong. One's, like, in a bad mood. It's like, why do we really have to worry about these world buffs? Like, I don't care. It's getting a little try-hardy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the mentality, right? Like, it's not about... It's not necessarily about, like, hanging out, having fun. Everyone's, like, really trying very hard to, like, beat it as fast as possible. And I'm just like, I don't care.
Right.
I've done
beating
it.
Beating it. We're not in a race.
Right. So
just want loot.
You know, just, like, the raids. Like each raid is getting a little better, but, like, there's not that many boss mechanics, actually. Because there's not personal loot, like, the loot is kind of complicated and it takes forever. And a lot of times you're just not going to really get anything. Just a lot of weird things. I don't necessarily think that raiding was better in Classic than it is in, like, you know, BFA or what have you, even though I just shat on that last raid. But, like, you know, I said, I think I've gone, like, over and over again how much I freaking loved the second raid, Battle for Dazar lore, like that sounds great. That's the kind of reading experience I really like. More of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe they said I could always come. So like the next really big raid comes out, maybe I'm like just coming and do it once there's room for me, but I'm not too worried about it. I'm kind of just honestly like this is the same thing I did after at the end of Legion. I was just leveling up a lot of characters for fun. I kind of like doing that. This is a kind of a fun phase for me.
This is what I was doing, the kind of post like the lull or the period is, you know, just kind of play some alts, stink around, have fun. I've got three characters at max level right now. I'm pretty happy about that. I have a level 100 mage. I was almost tempted to start playing him a bit and try to get him to 120. It's a Alliance Pandaren.
Like mages kind of seem a little meh in the alpha for Shadowlands. So far.
Is that the case? Oh, that's a bummer.
Well, I mean, again, for us, I don't. It's hard to know how much we're going to notice that kind of stuff.
Like, you know, like people complaining about Shaman. I will say, I dinked around with Elemental Shaman a couple months ago, and it's bad. You just feel like you're not killing things at all. But I've never had an issue with Enhancement Shaman. It's like, oh, they're so bad, and I was like, yeah, but like that's like some weird DPS chart and Mythic rating. Like, I don't care about that at all. Yeah.
So exactly, like who knows? But we'll get them. People are high on Shamans now. But everyone really likes how they got rid of that Maelstrom resource.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, actually.
Right, another reason why I want to play them. Plus, you know, I gotta play a healer. I'm leveling up like the mage right now, but really, I'm leveling up here. Like, I want to get the heritage.
Yeah, well, I still have my 120 boost that I got with my Shadowlands pre-order, and I don't even know what I'm going to use it on because the two classes I still want to I want to kind of max level sooner than later are Priest and Paladin. And I don't like know if I should boost one of those and not the other, and which one should get boosted. I just don't know yet.
I'd probably just do it to make a Paladin, or like, because I'm lazy, just like get my Demon Hunter to 120. I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of characters or a lot of the classes, like at least like around like level 100 place anyway. I think the only class I really don't have anything like going on is Rogue, which just doesn't really be anything that's interested me too much anyways.
The Rogue's one of my 120s.
Yeah, I just don't like Rogue very much. The
Rogue spec is, I'm actually kind of worried about what's going to happen to Rogue in the expansion, since they're like, they're bringing back more of the kind of common elements between specs. And part of why I like the Outlaw Rogue is it's not super dependent on like stealth and everything. It's just kind of a melee fighter, I kind of like about it.
Yeah, but from what I see, like that stuff, like a lot of that stuff, like you don't necessarily have to depend on. I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
You know, it's a guy with like two daggers, and every so often he pulls out a pistol, and I transmogged him to kind of look like a pirate. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, it's fun. All right. You're not really like, you're playing Animal Crossing, but you're not like really into it.
No,
you're playing,
I mean, it's
every day.
If I play it during the day, it's with my kids, and it's not constructive playtime. You know, we just stink around and they dig up fossils because they think that's fun, and that's like all we do. And so by the time, you know, 9:30 rolls around and I get some time in the game to myself, well, I'm either playing Final Fantasy or World of Warcraft or Overwatch with you guys or Valorant now. So I don't have like the time to give it. Plus, I'm in that stage now too, where like I watch the internet play this game, and it's like they're on this whole other level where, like, you know, it's like people are like desperately trying to find like, oh, who has the highest turnip prices, and you can come to my island, but you got to give me Nook miles. So I was like, I know I don't have to do that, but it's like you see all that, and you're like, I'm not playing that game.
I don't play that game. Like, I'm not like they have friends or like a Discord group where it's just people like stuff like that, right? Like, here's what I have in my store today. My turnip prices, blah, blah, blah. Like, I only go visit basically those two friends' islands if, like, they have something really cool that I'm interested in. But, I mean, I've been playing every day. I've been having a lot of fun, like, really, like, because like, now I'm in, like, the kind of, like, real, like, city planning phase where I'm, like, building parks and putting fences everywhere and really, like, trying to make, like, the island look more like a city and stuff like that. And it's just really, really feeling good. It's really scratching an itch.
Yeah, I like it when I play it. I just, like I said, by the time I get to where I would like play it like for myself, I'm ready to do other things.
Sure, fair enough. But I'm gonna tell you what, I think that was like one of the people like, I don't really like Animal Crossing, and I played it like every day, my playtime's like 60 hours or something right now. So what do I know?
So I'm trying to think, like, what's the next release that we're looking forward to? I think for me, it's the Xenogears or Xenoblade remaster.
I'm like, I don't know. I'm not down on that, but I don't really care. Like, I played all of Xenoblade 2 and didn't really like it. And I played the first.
I never played 2, but it didn't look like it was a lot in common with 1 at all, actually.
And I like, you know, like,
one is very much a riff on Final Fantasy 12.
Sure. Yeah, that's what everyone said back in the time. And I played 12 a little, not a ton. I did like it. I don't know if I loved it though. So I don't like there are so many JRPGs in my back right now, really. And I am finally getting pretty close to being Dragon Quest XI. I think that's gonna happen soon. There's like a lot of weird stuff I want to get into, like Lunar and maybe some of the older Dragon Quests now and whatnot. I don't really know if Xenoblade Chronicles is really high on that list. Will be. Maybe it's going to come out and everyone's going to love it.
Maybe you'll have to review it.
But that certainly isn't the next game. It is the next game, because I feel like we are in this weird spot now where a lot of things have gotten pushed. I mean, honestly, if the rumors about like the 3D Mario games coming to Switch is true, like that's like the big thing I'm really looking
forward to. Yeah, but that's probably going to be a fall thing.
Yeah, it probably would be, huh? So there's going to be something I'm not thinking about, but like...
Last of Us was delayed, and Cyberpunk was delayed. And...
Yeah, so yeah, those are pretty cool. There's going to be something, right? I guess maybe it's Shadowlands, I guess. But
I mean, that doesn't have a date. One would presume August. That seems to be when these expansions have come out lately.
I bet it might be a little later than August this time, but...
Because of everything going on,
this year. But like... It's like for fall, like I don't. It'd be great if you big fall game anymore, because I don't even know if we're actually getting Breath of the Wild 2 this year.
Like, no, I think it's the Mario stuff.
I think it is the Mario stuff, which
yeah,
fine for me really. Maybe a little weird, compared to last year they had Pokemon and Luigi's Mansion. This year you have some Mario ports, and maybe like that. Maybe the Paper Mario game, right?
That could be a thing too. Yeah.
If that's a thing, like I'll look forward to that. Although even then, I'm so skeptical of anything that series does. Right?
So, yeah.
You're like destroying me right now with this question. I was really looking forward to Ori and Final Fantasy VII, and like they both exceeded my expectations. Like they've both been fantastic. Like
the second half of the year is just in general so unknown because. With E3 not consoles, happening, right? that's where you're supposed to learn everything. New consoles and launch games, and the rumor is Microsoft's having their One X or Series X event, like digital event in May. We still don't know what Sony's doing,
right?
But we may start finding out about that stuff over the course of May and into June. But like as we sit right now, it's kind of impossible to know.
Looking forward to Ghost of Tsushima. I think that's going to be really cool. I forget when that is now because I think it is actually still June. So, okay, I think that's going to be very. I think that'll be super fun.
I'm in
the mood for like one of those kind of like Sony for party like story driven open worldy things right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
What I'm shocked like didn't really grab me much, and maybe I just need to play a little bit more of it. Was Doom Eternal like?
It was oddly exhausting.
Yeah,
it's fun, but you can't play it for long, and the levels feel really long, which doesn't help.
Yeah, maybe that's part of the issue, right? Like, I don't know, but it's bizarre. Like,
maybe that's one. Like, I just need to just suck it up and knock down the difficulty by a level so I can just enjoy it. Because it's cool, it's exhilarating, but it's just like it's stressful by the time you're done with like a sequence. Like, catch my breath, okay?
I lost you there for a second, so you might need to edit because I was saying things. But you're back now.
You're fine. Okay. Well, now I have to because you said that.
Well, I want you to make podcasts sound good. You're not editing nothing, and we know it.
Yeah, I know. Now I'm just leaving this in because we made it a bit.
No, it's a bit. Yeah, great. But yeah, it's, I don't know. Doom Eternal has been kind of weird. But yeah, there is. There must be. I think I said this last week, but we know like Halo is going to be Microsoft things. And. Presumably, I feel like Horizon Zero Dawn 2 is going to be a launch game.
Yeah, that's starting to ramp up the rumor mill.
Like, it's weird that this game, like, we haven't even heard about that, and that's a game that quote unquote come out this year, right? Like really, right.
They could be Fallout 4-ing us.
It's so weird how that happened, right? Because man,
yeah,
compared to, I mean, you even like allowed yourself to get excited about a first six, like really, like when the hell was that going to happen? Mm-hmm. That's an announced game. And I feel like that is like 3 years away. That's right. Like, seriously, like, I'm almost mad that that stupid sci-fi game has to like come out first. I'm like, just make Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, who cares?
They're actually making an original IP, but they're just looking like, now we're making a sci-fi game. Oh, wow. That's crazy, dude. New ground there, Copernican. Like, really? It's fantasy, post-apocalyptic, now we're going to space. Whoa, dang, dude. Well, I mean, literally the next most generic possible thing you could like possibly do. Like, Jesus Christ. Anything else would have been more interesting. Say, like, oh, cool, a game in space.
It doesn't help that The Outer Worlds came out, too, and everyone really liked it.
Worlds kind of is able to do something different. Like, and then we haven't seen much of this game, but whenever we do see it, it certainly is this fiction. It's like, cool. Wow, there's going to be a spaceship in this. It's crazy. So I don't know. I'm like down on it. Maybe it'll be amazing. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Right,
I'm surprised you haven't tried out Fallout 76, the new thingamajig.
No, I haven't. Although there's a funny glitch where apparently, after an NPC kills you, they can loot you. And if you kill them, you can't loot them back. So people are like losing super rare guns this way.
Oopsie doopsie.
And this is not intended behavior. Like, it's definitely a bug. So that game can't catch a break, man. I don't know.
That's what you get for playing that game, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
So, hey, I have a movie I watched today that I'd never seen in its entirety, and it was a weird gap in my nerd movie.
Is it Superman?
It's Superman!
I wanted to watch it. Man, we could watch it together if we weren't, you know, isolated. But because of the South Park show, right?
Yeah, well, I was listening to that, so I actually got the free week trial of the DC Universe app.
Way to watch it?
You could buy it, but yeah, that's the only way to stream it. But they don't have any of the other ones, like 2 or the bad ones, 3 and 4.
That everybody really likes, right?
What's that?
2 is the one everybody really likes.
Well, I'm confused on its legacy, because there's like the original...
A question. That's absolutely true. Everybody loves 2. Oh, there's a girl who's tight, yeah.
Yeah, no, because there's the original version of 2, and then there's the Donner cut, which is like the way 2 is supposed to be. I read up about the production of this movie, which I kind of didn't know a lot about. It's very interesting.
They filmed it at the same time as the original, right? Or something weird?
Yes, but they were like 75% of the way done filming 2, but 1 was falling behind. So they kind of told Donner, the director, to abandon what he was working on 2 and just finish 1. Then they fired him and like reshot most of what he shot with the new director. And then this Donner cut happened in the early 2000s, around the time Superman Returns came out, because part of the hang-up was that there was a falling out with Marlon Brando, and they weren't allowed to use any of what they shot for him for 2, but they resecured his rights to use him in Superman Returns, which allowed them to then get the old footage out, and then Donner came back and, like, recreated the movie he was going to make. So I don't know which one's, like, the actual right Superman 2, is what I'm getting at. The
better Superman 2.
Right, right. So, but anyway, Superman 1 turns out it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because not like we never watched it growing up. This is not a thing.
No, we just it's so funny when you watch it now. It's like just on the edge of being dated. Like for the most part, like many of the the special effects hold up, but a lot of them don't. So it's this weird dichotomy between the two. For example, like right away, just at the beginning of the movie, when like the opening credits, it's like flying through space and it's doing this like, zoomy text kind of thing where like, you know, it's like stretched out as it flies, like from behind the camera, it's like a name and then it stops. And when it stops, it's like a new visual element. It's not like a smooth transition. And the second piece is like 10 pixels too high. Like, so they're not aligned, and it happens every time, and it was just driving me crazy. But, you know, like little things, like some of the compositing isn't great. Like, you know, as Superman is flying, he's aimed like 5 degrees to the right of the direction he's actually going, like that.
Sure. Yeah.
There's a great shot in the movie that you see the trick once it's pointed out to you, and it's very obvious once it's pointed out, but I completely missed it, where I guess I'm going to spoil Superman from 1978.
Yeah, I think that's okay. But, I bet he wins.
It's after the scene where Superman and Lois Lane fly around. It's the whole new world sequence, as I kind of see in my head. And he goes to leave. He flies off her terrace, and it's one uncut shot where there's a knocking on Lois's door, and she walks back into her apartment, and it's Clark at the door. And it didn't even occur to me. They're like, oh, that was like, they didn't cut. How did he change his outfit so fast? Like, what happened? Was there like a weird camera trick? And they basically just shot the shot of him flying away and just projected it onto a projector screen on the terrace set. And so when you're watching it, you could see there's like these leaves in the foreground that are real. And you could see like everything's just kind of jittery because it's like the projector wasn't steady or something. But at the time, you don't even think about it. It's well pulled off. But you, what makes Christopher Reeve so good in that movie is when he is Clark Kent. Because, you know, the joke about Superman's secret identity is like, what, he puts on the glasses, no one knows who he is. But he does a really incredible job of just, like, his whole physicality changes. And the way he speaks and the way he holds his shoulders. Like, it really does make you think, oh, okay, I guess this would work. So, I know I'm like praising Christopher Reeve's performance in Superman. Like, yeah, oh, right. Wow.
Do you think he's the best Superman then, now that you've seen him?
What's that?
Do you think he's the best Superman then, now that you've finally seen him in a movie?
Do you think I would what Superman? You keep cutting out.
Okay. Do you think he's the best Superman then?
Whatever this word you're saying is, you cut out every time you say it.
He's the best Superman.
Yes, he's the best Superman.
Holy crap, I'm turning off the RTX thing.
No, Mike, it's your internet. I think your internet's being real shitty tonight.
Right.
But yeah, yes. I mean, I think, what's his name who plays him now? Henry
Cavill. Screw that. I was thinking about Brandon Routh.
Oh, that movie was so weird, though. I like Cavill as Superman. I think he's good. It's just his movies are terrible.
Superman Returns was better than Man of Steel, and I will die.
Yeah, but it's like it's so that movie's so weird. Cause it's like, where does this fit? Is this a sequel? Is it a reboot? What's going on? How much time? I was very confused by the ending of Superman the movie. So like, do you know what happens?
Is this the one where he turns the planet back in time? Or is that
No, it is. It's this one. But I'm so confused because, like the nuke hits the San Andreas Fault and all this bad shit happens and the Hoover Dam breaks and the Golden Gate Bridge almost collapses. And then this amongst all this, an earthquake happens at a small gas station. Lois Lane drives away, gets stuck in a fault line and dies. And that's why he rewinds time. And as the rewinding montage is happening, like you see the Hoover Dam fix itself. I'm like, okay, cool. But then, like, he gets to Lois's car before anything happens to it, and she's talking about, like, an earthquake and the gas station exploding. Oh, wait a minute. Did he, like, stop the nuke from ever happening? Like, did he not go back in time far enough? Like, I'm not sure where things got left, because they really don't address it.
I assume there's just some kind of goofiness there, huh?
Yeah, but anyway, it's good. And the, you know, soundtrack's good.
I think the soundtrack is the best part.
Yeah. Faux show. But yeah, I'm, on a side note, I'm looking very forward to that Mandalorian docuseries that comes out on May 4th.
The one that's as many episodes as the show itself?
Yes.
8 episodes of Mickey. Okay.
We gotta watch something.
Yeah, I guess so. That's the truth. That's the truth. Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever. All right, Ezra, what else? What else? Anything else?
That's it for me, man. I'm tired. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things are, yeah, you opened with that. I heard you're tired.
It's true. Oh, no, my new, I got a Peloton that comes tomorrow.
Oh, the bike thing? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited. When we originally ordered it, we were told it wouldn't come till June 6th. And then, like, 3 days ago, they called, like, hey, can we deliver it on Saturday? And we were like, yeah. Cool.
Super early? Yeah, sure. Okay.
So yeah, that's
going on. Tell me you're tired. You're trying to get the sympathy of the people, but you don't get my sympathy.
I don't need your simpy.
You don't get no simpy from me. All right. We done here?
We're done here. Let's get out of here.
Thanks for listening to the Explaining Bro podcast. You can find us. You can find more at evpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Check out 90s Disney. We're going to have a new episode of that very soon. And yeah, we'll see you next week right here on the Explaining Bro podcast.
Bye-bye.